most of these guys don't talk very long.
No, I know. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Marine Resources Committee. Today is a busy day. We'll have a lot of bills here to work on, so we'll start with introductions, and we'll start.
Hi, I'm David Hagan. I represent District 101, Hamden and Newburgh.
Abden Simmons, House District 91, Friendship, Waldoboro, Washington, and Powder Union.
Good afternoon. I'm Eloise Vitelli. I represent Senate District 23, which is all of Saginaw County and Dresden in Lincoln County.
Good afternoon. I'm Stephanie Hawk, District 89, Booth Bay, Booth Bay Harbor, Southport, Edgecombe, Westport, and parts of South Bristol.
Good afternoon and welcome. I'm Kevin Battle, District 33, South Portland, West Side.
Good afternoon. I'm Representative Lydia Bloom from the coastal part of York, House District 3.
Good afternoon. I'm Paula Sutton, representing House District 95, the towns of Warren, Appleton, Hope, and part of Union. Thank you.
Good afternoon. I'm Representative Will Toole from the heart of down East Maine, way down Washington County, the Machias Bay Area, plus Lubeck and Eastport. And it's great to see so many folks from down home here today.
Thank you. Robert Alley, District 138, Jonesport, Beale, Addison, Harrington, Columbia, Columbia Falls, Centerville, Jonesboro, Whittenville, Myfield, and Cherryville.
Good afternoon. I'm Mick Devin. I represent House District 90, which consists of the towns that make up the Pemaquid Peninsula, along with Louds and Monhegan Islands.
Good afternoon. My name is Walter Kamiga. I represent House District 134, which is Final Haven, North Haven, Isle of Hope, Stonington, Deer Isle, Southwest Harbor, Tremont, Swans Island, Frenchboro, and the Cranberry Isles.
And I'm Joyce Maker. I represent Senate District 6, which is all of Washington County and part of Hancock. Today, I will be presiding along with my co-chair, because I have to run and give testimony and come back, on the Joint Standing Committee on Marine Resources. And we will be, the purpose, we will be having public hearings on LD 68, 1380, 233, 1067, and 1316. The purpose of the hearing is to invite testimony from members of the public regarding proposed legislation that is pending before this committee. The committee will hear testimony from persons present who wish to speak for, against, or neither for nor against the bill. With leave of the chair, committee members may ask questions of any person testifying today. Other questions are not permitted. Whether or not you testify, you may submit written testimony to the committee. Please be mindful that the testimony is public and is available to all once it's presented. Written testimony will be distributed to the committee members and will also be posted on the legislator's website for viewing by interested persons. Persons testifying at the public hearing today are advised that the hearing is being broadcast on the Internet and may be heard by persons listening online. If you wish to testify, please state your name, residence, and the organization you represent, if any, and sign in at the podium. Testimony will be heard at the following order. The sponsor who will present the bill, followed by any co-sponsors, those speaking in favor of the bill, those speaking in opposition to the bill, and those speaking neither for nor against the bill. If you have written materials to accompany your testimony, please give at least 20 copies to our committee clerk, Julia Brown, prior to testifying. There will be no smoking or eating during the hearing, and in deference to others today, please keep conversations to a minimum. Today, we will start our hearing, public hearing. We're going to combine two of them, LD 68 and LD 1380, because they're both about the same bill. And so we'll start with LD 68.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon. Thank you, Senator Maker, Representative Kamiga, and fellow members of the Marine Resources Committee. My name is Representative Lydia Bloom, and I represent the coastal portion of the town of York. I am here today to introduce LD 68, an act to implement an owner-operator requirement in the scallop and sea urchin fisheries. Maine's lobster industry is held up internationally as a model of a sustainable fishery. Much of this is due to the owner-operator system for license holders. It has given the lobstermen a real stake in the stewardship of the fishery and prevented large factory ships or fleets of smaller ships with one owner from being involved in the fishery. Other main fisheries, in particular the scallop and urchin fisheries, would benefit greatly from using the owner-operator structure, and that is what this bill is designed to do. Apparently, the Department of Marine Resources feels the same way, because later today you will hear a bill from them, LD 1380, with the same title. But just because the titles are the same and there are several similarities does not mean that they are the same bill. There are also important differences between the bills. I'm going to use the rest of this testimony to point out these similarities and differences. The owner-operator requirement is a similarity. They both create an owner-operator requirement for the scallop and sea urchin, the dragging fisheries, by mirroring the vessel limitation language found in lobster statute. A vessel cannot be used to drag for scallops or sea urchins unless that vessel is owned by the license holder and the license holder is present and the vessel is named on the owner's license. Or a family member of the vessel owner holds a scallop or sea urchin dragging license and is present on that vessel. Individual exemptions to this. Both bills also provide the same exemptions for individuals, whereby the commissioner, upon a written request, can authorize a person to drag temporarily from a different vessel when illness, an inoperative vessel, or sale or foreclosure of a vessel prevents a license holder from using his or her vessel, or that of a license-holding member. The differences between the bills. Grandfathering. The department's bill does not provide for any grandfathering of existing license holders who would not meet the owner-operator requirement. This bill does provide for grandfathering in the following ways. One, existing business relationship. If a current license holder would not meet either the owner-operator or family-owned requirement, i.e., a family member must be a license holder, own the vessel, or be on board, they would still be able to fish from a vessel if they can document that they dragged from the same vessel and had landings on that vessel in 2015, 16, and 17 seasons. Two, if current license holders cannot meet the vessel ownership or the business relationship requirements, they can get a license issued each year for the purpose of maintaining their eligibility for a license, but they cannot fish until they meet the owner-operator requirement. Rulemaking. The department's bill changes the department's rulemaking authority for creating a limited entry system for the scallop fishery from major substantive rules to routine technical. This bill leaves rules as major substantive, but requires the department to submit provisionally adopted rules to the legislature by January 2018. I thank you for your consideration. I look forward to working with you all to craft an owner-operator bill that will work for all of us concerned. I also need to leave in a few minutes, and I'm going to be followed by Mr. Brian Thomas, who is very intimately aware of this bill and will be able to answer any specific questions if I don't have time to. But in the meantime, I will take any questions that you have.
Thank you, Representative. Any questions from the committee members? Representative Toole.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Would you mind speaking to the issue of a lottery when you see that playing out? Do you see that as being part of this legislation? Did you want to weigh in on that?
I'm a little hesitant to weigh in on the lottery provision. I don't feel I can speak to that in a more informed way.
Representative Devin.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Thank you very much, Representative Bloom. I have a question about the family model. So this would, your bill, LD 68, would allow families that have been fishing together, if you have a father that owns the boat and then he has a daughter or son or whomever, however the family is defined, and they've been fishing together, are they subject to that, having had to fish the last 3 years, shown landings together the last 3 years?
If you have a family member who has had the same kind of dragging license that you have, you can list that family member's boat if you do not have one of your own, as long as the family member who owns the boat is present on the boat when you are dragging.
Okay, and one more question. It's a follow-on. So does this stipulation only for existing relationships? What about when the father turns into a grandfather and the son turns into a father? Is there the potential for that family relationship to survive through generations?
I believe that it's, well, as long as you have dragged in the same boat and had landings in the past 3 years and will continue to designate that boat on your license renewal for 2018 and beyond. So I guess that is yes.
Thank you.
But I'm deferring because I just want to make sure I answer that correctly. And Brian Thomas can probably answer that. I would like to ask you to ask him the same question, please.
I'll do that.
Any other questions from the committee? Thank you, Representative.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, honorable members of the Marine Resources Committee. My name is Walter Kamiga. I represent House District 134, Vinyl Haven, North Haven, Isle of Hope, Stonington, Deer Isle, Southwest Harbor, Tremont, Swans Island, Frenchboro, and the Cranberries. I am going to present House LD 1380, which is a department bill. It has the same title as the bill that was just presented. As Representative Bloom pointed out, it has a few differences. I'm not going to walk through the whole thing since she just did, and the department will likely do the same thing in a few minutes. I do have one thing I want to point out is Section 3 of the bill, where statute now reads that a rules establishing a limited entry system are major substantive rules. That's a section of law that was passed into law in the 125th legislature. Myself and Representative Wayne Perry worked on that bill. We had a different commissioner at the time, and we were concerned about the type of entry system that commissioner was talking about. So we wanted to make sure that the committee had an opportunity to weigh in on those rules before they went into effect. As you know, routine technical rules are still subject to review by the committee, so I feel like I'm pretty comfortable with making this change. It could mean that rules for a limited entry system would go into effect a season sooner than they would if they're major substantive rules. So that's one reason why I think it's potentially a good idea. And then the rest of the bill has, besides the owner-operator, has some technical changes to scallop rules. Any questions?
Thank you very much, Representative Kamega. Representative Hawk.
Thank you, sir. You have a lot of gray area words in that last paragraph. Potentially could be.
About the, so, rulemaking process might, and I think this is more of a question for the commissioner, might be able to accomplish before the 2017/2018 season if they're minor technical rules. If they're major substantive rules, then they would have to be reviewed by the legislature in this early 2018. So they certainly wouldn't go into effect until the 2018/2019 season. So you would, now, I can't speak for the commissioner as to whether he thinks he can get rules done in time to allow some new entry in fall of 2017. So that's a question for the commissioner as to whether he can get, you know, whether that change will actually make a year's difference in when new entry would happen.
Thank you.
Representative Toole?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was wondering, Representative Kamega, if you had an opinion on the Scallop Advisory Council weighing in on any rules regarding entry before and bringing a proposal back or having the department bring a proposal back before something is fleshed out.
Yeah, I'm certain that the SAC would have input on any rulemaking for an entry system. I think that's the – they've been discussing it for some time, and I think that actually may be the reason why – that's the reason why I can't say when those rules would be ready to be enacted, because I know the industry wants to have a voice in how that happens. So, and that would likely come through the SAC.
Representative Battle.
Thank you, Acting Chairman. How many fishermen or how many boats are presently involved in this fishery? And I'll settle for a ballpark.
400, between 400 and 700. I think better question for the department, and
okay.
If they can't answer it today, certainly at the work session, I'm sure they could.
Thank you.
Representative Sutton.
Thank you, Acting Chair. Do you happen to know if the federal license holders in any of these fisheries also have an owner-operator provision?
Not in the scallop fishery, I know that.
I have one question that follows on from Representative Hawk and Representative Toole. This is no reflection of our existing commissioner,
mm-hmm.
but in making a change like this, we have no idea who the next commissioner would be. Does that concern you at all, making the change from major substantive to routine technical?
A little, although we do have the opportunity to the committee would have an opportunity to review and bring any technical rules back for consideration or reconsideration in front of the committee. So, I mean, it's not that something we've done, but, you know, at the beginning of every session, we get a list of all the technical rules adopted by the department, and if there are some that the committee members have objections to, there is a mechanism for reviewing them, so...
Thank you, Representative Kamega. Any other questions? Representative Battle.
Thank you, sir. I don't know if you can answer or... why weren't these two combined?
Because
other places, when somebody put in the same bill,
they're different. I mean, the Representative Bloom's bill is got quite a bit of language that's different than what's in the department bill. And the department bill has some technical changes to a statute that, weren't part of the scope of Representative Bloom's bill. So I suspect they will be combined by this committee.
Thank you, Representative Kamega. Is there anyone here that wants to speak in favor?
I think we'd like to hear from the commissioner. Department.
Representative Kamega, members of the Joint Standing Committee on Marine Resources. My name is Patrick Kelleher, and I am the Commissioner of the Department of Marine Resources, and I'm here today in support of LD 68 and LD 1380. LD 1380 is a department bill, and we thank Representative Kamega for bringing it forward on our behalf. While these LDs differ some in specific details, they are both seeking to achieve the very same fundamental outcome, the creation of an owner-operator requirement in the scallop and in the urchin fisheries. Under current law, in order to drag for scallops and urchins, the license holder is required to be aboard the vessel, but is not required to own the vessel identified on that license. This is in contrast with our lobster fishery, where the license holder is required both to be on board the vessel and to own the vessel. This bill would make the requirements for scallop and urchin dragging match those of the lobster fishery. As with lobster, exceptions are provided for such temporary situations as medical difficulties, boat breakdowns, or when a license holder is transitioning to a new vessel. Broadly speaking, owner-operator provisions are known to increase the stewardship ethic in a fishery, prevent consolidation of fishing privileges, and help to ensure that the fishery revenues accrue to local communities. In the case of these two main state water fisheries, the continued development of a strong stewardship ethic is of critical importance. Both of these resources are still in need of further rebuilding, and an owner-operator requirement will reduce the likelihood that those with nothing invested in the long-term viability of the fishery, i.e. no vessel, will be able to enter and exit it freely. The scallop fishery has experienced a significant increase in abundance in recent years. That increase in abundance, combined with historically high prices, has attracted participation from previously latent license holders. This reactivation of latent license has posed a challenge for both managers and the industry to balance the increasing effort with the rebuilding targets. There are still several hundred latent licenses remaining in both fisheries, so implementing an owner-operator requirement will ensure that if a license holder does decide to re-enter, they will have some skin in the game, so to speak, having invested in a vessel. The department has been in discussions with the merits of owner-operator requirements with the Scallop Advisory Council and the Sea Urchin Advisory Council for approximately the past 5 years. We feel strongly that establishing this license requirement is a necessary precursor to allowing future entry for each of these fisheries. We are sympathetic to the fact that there are mutually beneficial arrangements that have been made, particularly in the scallop fishery, between individuals who hold a license but who do not own a vessel and individuals with vessels but no license. However, any effort to grandfather existing non-owner-operator arrangements will only minimize the value of this provision that it's intended to achieve and delay its benefits. We would advocate for no grandfathering and the subsequent creation of a functional limited entry system that would provide future opportunity for those who have been participating but who do not currently hold a license. With a strong owner-operator requirement in place, the department is prepared to begin the process of establishing a mechanism for new entrants to access the fishery, as either a new scallop nor a sea urchin license has been, as neither a new scallop nor sea urchin license has been issued in nearly a decade. In LD 68, a deadline is provided to report major substantive rules back to the committee prior to the next legislative session. We do not object to the deadline, but have proposed in LD 1380 that the rules identified as routine technical. If that change were made, DMR could develop a system that could provide for new entry in the 2018 season. If they remain major substantive, the earliest that a new license could be provided would be in 2019. In our conversations with industry, we have envisioned a system that is simple to administer and gives an additional weight to individuals who have been participating in the fishery in recent years, either through an arrangement, as mentioned above, or as crew. In LD 1380, the department has proposed the existing restrictions on fishing from April 16 to November 30 be removed for the dive segment of the fleet. These limitations were originally put in place to minimize gear conflict between draggers and the lobster fishery. Since there is no gear conflict between divers and the lobster fishery, it seems logical to remove this limitation from their season. It's not the department's intention to create any difference in the number of fishing days for draggers and divers, only the flexibility when those days could occur. This would allow divers to better allocate fishing days with consideration of the markets, holidays, foul weather, and to minimize overlap with the drag component of the fleet. In recent years, there have been only 30 active scallop divers as opposed to 300 active draggers, and the divers land only 3% of the total catch. The department has been working to provide divers with some more equitable access to the resource in recent years, and this measure would aid in that effort. Also in LD 1380, the department has proposed to allow the boundary between Zones 1 and Zone 2 for sea urchins to be defined in rule rather than statute. This was at the request of the Sea Urchin Zone Council, who was seeking additional flexibility in the management of this fishery. In reviewing the draft legislation, the revisor's office indicated that the lines were to be changed in regulation. There would need to be a subsequent change in law, to make the lines match. Rather than having to make the change twice, we would propose to leave the line only in statute, and we would bring forward any recommendations for changes from the Sea Urchin Zone Council at a time that they are developed. And finally, the department would like to bring forward for consideration one additional technical change that was identified by Marine Patrol following the cloture deadline. Some individuals who hold both a scallop dragging license and an urchin dragging license, and in Cobbs Cook Bay, a fisherman with both licenses could fish for both species on the same day if both calendars are open for that day. However, current legislation restricts harvesters from carrying both drags on board when fishing for sea urchins. Patrollers recommend allowing fishermen to have their scallop drag on board while fishing for sea urchins, provided that the vessel does not have any scallops on board. This will allow fishermen to operate in a safer, more efficient manner, and we have included some draft language to accomplish this change for your consideration. I would thank you for your consideration of our testimony, and I would be happy to answer any questions that the committee might have.
Representative. Thank you, Senator. Commissioner, do people that have paid for their license all along, would they be out?
No, they would not be out. They can continue to pay for their license and maintain a license. They would just have to have their own vessel in order to participate, much like the lobster fishery is now. A lobster man or woman can have a license even if they don't use it, not own a vessel, but continue to maintain that license for a future time.
But what good is it if you can't go?
Some people may want to go in the future, and they're preserving that ability to do that.
No, but if this passes and they're just holding a license and they don't have a boat, they would be out.
They would be out until they purchased a vessel.
Okay. Any other questions, Representative?
Thank you. How long are those licenses? Are they lifetime?
For as long as they renew them. If they do not renew, they would lapse. Yep.
Senator Vitale.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So why would a fisherman have both a scallop rig on board and an urchin rig if they're only going to be fishing for urchins?
So if, in Cobbs Cook in particular, there are several fishermen that have both licenses.
Right.
And if they have the ability to fish for both species on the same day, by law, they have to leave one drag somewhere else. They can't have them on board. And so what we're trying to do is, more for safety and convenience than anything else, allow them to stow that other scallop drag on board their vessel without having, in most cases, a lot of them lowering it down and putting a mooring ball on it, leaving it on the bottom somewhere, and then coming back later in the day to get it to then go out and pursue the other species.
Okay, so it's more of a convenience and a safety issue.
Yeah, and we have not had any issues associated with this, and patrol thought it was time to make a correction to that law.
Okay. Yep. Thank you.
Any other questions? Representative Toole.
Oh, sorry.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess I have a couple. The first one being, so somebody, they have a boat, they have a license, but they don't have a boat. Is there a period of time you're willing to give them to get a boat so that they don't lose out within the next year? Is that my... I'm confusing these two bills, probably.
I think Representative, and I don't want to speak for Representative Bloom, but the idea of grandfathering is to allow those type of arrangements to continue until they end. We do have a little bit of trouble on how we would track those. My thinking is set a date, set a hard date within this law, which it would be become final. So. Given an individual that has an existing arrangement, the ability to fish this upcoming season, but in the 2019 season, they would have to own their own vessel, as an example.
So basically, they would have 2 years to get their finances and get a boat and show proof that that's what they're doing, basically.
That is my thought, Representative Toole.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then I guess the other question is in regards to the prospects of a lottery or limited entry. I know there's been a lot of chatter on the computer about what that should be, or whether it should be, and how that should play out. Did you care to weigh in on that?
It's your legislation by social media, Representative Tool.
Well, I'm just
Facebook rules. I know. We've been obviously involved in many different conversations with the industry about what that would look like. The idea of some sort of a lottery that gives preference to or additional points to individuals that have held licenses in the past, who can show that they have been a crew member for a certain amount of time. I think those are the type of things that we need to take into account, and we would try to work directly. Your question earlier about the SAC. The SAC would be very much engaged in this process, and we'd use them in other conversations with the industry to help develop what that rule would look like.
But would it make sense to bring future legislation forward on this, or just leave it as you've proposed?
I mean, the department right now has the authority in rule or in law to do rulemaking to allow entry, right. But because of the amount of latent effort that has continued to come into this fishery, we've been unwilling to do so. I've taken the position for the department that we will be willing to go and begin an entry process if we can put a strong owner-operator provision in place, because I think that helps balance out the entry side.
I got
or the latent effort side, excuse me.
Right. So yeah. Basically, no. If we don't get owner operator, we're basically not going to see a more in depth discussion about entry.
That would be my position, sir. Yeah.
Representative Devin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have two unrelated questions. First has to do with divers diving year round. Scallops are ripe and ready to spawn. Anywhere from early July till Labor Day weekend, typically, at least
yep.
in the mid-coast. Do we want divers out harvesting when we've
no.
got females about to spawn?
No, I think we would take those type of things, those biological concerns into effect if we were going to make a change in the diet.
So it wouldn't be year-round. You'd consider the spawning of scallops.
Right. We're not advocating that divers would get this big, long, open season. What we would advocate for is trying to find some flexibility. They're always concerned about the impacts that the drag fleet has on their ability to dive, sedimentation, those type of things, bottom being stirred up. We've had conversations with divers in the past. Trish and I from staff tried to see if there was any interest from divers about 4 years ago to have some different seasons. While there was some indications that there was some interest, most of them still wanted to fish during those winter months. But I think there's been a little change in that conversation, and I think people are willing to kind of open up the book and try to see if there are any other ways that this fishery could be promulgated. Again, it would be done in concert with conversations with the SAC. The SAC is made up of both divers and draggers, and I'm sure it'll be a lively debate.
Mm-hmm. And my other question has to do with the grandfathering.
Yep.
Looking at families that are working together, keeping fishing communities alive, would you have a problem with extending that grandfathering more than a year or two, specifically for families? These are not situations where you have one individual who owns a bunch of boats,
yeah.
or one individual who has a bunch of licenses. I think that there is quite a bit of value to a lot of these coastal communities where there isn't a lot of other options for them to keep as many fishing options available as possible.
The first thing that pops to my mind is equity. You just want to make sure that you're not giving that family line a much greater opportunity to be participating in that fishery. So you have to weigh those two things in the conversation. I think the last piece, though, to mention, though, is I believe the language that you're referring to within the statute, and I haven't looked at it today, but is very specific language that has been taken from the section of law for lobsters. And And we would, we utilize that language all the time within the lobster fishery, allowing family participation in the use of a boat. There's still tags associated with it, and they can't have so many tags on a vessel, but it gives some flexibility. And I think we could find ways to work with that.
Thank you, Commissioner.
You bet.
Representative Battle.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Okay, going to the urchin dragging and scallop dragging. Okay, right now you can go for one or the other, but you can't do both in the same day, have both on board.
You can't have both pieces of gear on board.
Right, but I mean, okay, right.
You'd have to do two separate trips the way it's written now.
Okay, well, why?
You'd have to go back and find somebody that was here a long time ago to ask that question. I can't. There's a hand's going to go up in the audience. I'm sure they'll be able to refer to it, but there was an issue associated with people fishing for both species at the same time with an urchin drag or a scallop drag, two different types of drags. And so what we're saying is you can fish for scallops, and you can have both drags on board at the same time, and you can target scallops with a scallop drag, and you can target urchins with an urchin drag. And for simplicity and convenience for the harvester, you don't have to lower one to the bottom and then steam off and then come back and pick it up and drop the other one.
Okay. Thank you.
Representative Hawk.
Thank you. Family.
I don't have a very good one, so let's skip that.
So if you were buddies, would they be out? Like two people that have worked together forever? They're not family, but they sometimes act like it.
Representative Hawks, I think we're at a point where we need to make a hard line decision. I respect the opinion of Representative Bloom to try to grandfather in and recognize those agreements over time. But I think for the long-term success of this industry, I think making a determination now that sets a date that says you've got this much time to invest in this fishery or not participate in the future.
I guess what I'm saying is that, two people have been working together for a long time.
Yeah.
One's got the license, one's got, it's not a cheap business to get into.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be the end of it, get a new job.
If you used my example that I gave to Representative Toole, you would have basically the next 2 years to invest in that fishery, in that boat.
Yeesh.
Representative Sutton.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Is there any provision in here outlining percentage of ownership of the boat?
I don't have the owner-operator language in front of me, but it's a majority percentage, I believe. But we'll make sure you have that exact language for the work session.
Okay, because I was wondering what would prevent parties from simply adding names onto titles in an attempt to kind of circumvent the whole thing anyway.
Yeah, there are instances where we've seen that happen or try to have seen that happen within the lobster fishery, but for the most part, it's pretty much a clean owner-operator provision with an individual having the majority share of the boat, and they're the owner and the operator of the vessel.
Yeah, we'd be wanting to see that for the work session.
Yeah, yep, you bet.
Any other questions for the commissioner?
Aye.
Representative.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It seems to me that I recall maybe at least 10 years ago, maybe as many as 15, I was working up in Cobbs Cook Bay, and there was a woman who was a Passamaquoddy who had an urchin license,
mm-hmm.
and there was a fisherman from Lubeck who was not a member of the Passamaquoddy tribe that utilized that license for her. But then at some point, he was disallowed from doing that. So is the urchin fishery already semi-owner-operator?
No, not at all. I mean, I'm not sure of the exact situation that you're referring to, but there are many members of the Passamaquoddy tribe who own a vessel and participate, have licenses, participate in the fishery,
mm-hmm.
and there are members of that tribe who also just get the license and put that license on a non-tribal boat, and there are those type of instances as well. In this case, this bill would cover all tribal and non-tribal licenses. So everybody would have to fall under the same set of rules.
Thank you.
Yeah. And if I may, to a question that Representative Sutton had earlier on the federal fisheries, whether they're owner-operator, they are not owner-operator, but a federal permit holder, just like in the lobster fishery, still is subject to our laws. So anybody participating in the lobster fishery with a federal permit still falls under our owner-operator provisions.
Yep.
Any other questions for the commissioner? Thank you, Commissioner.
Great. Thank you.
I guess we need Mr. Thomas to come up because he has worked a lot with Representative Bloom. And while I'm doing that, when I left, because I had to go give testimony, I didn't give our housekeeping rules. And one was we respectfully request all hats be removed. And if we're going to try not to use this clock, but if we find that the conversations is going a little long, we're going to start using the clock. So try to keep your testimony within 3 minutes. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Thomas.
Madam Chairman, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Brian Thomas. I live in Lemoyne, which is in Hancock County, and I represent Maine Center for Coastal Fisheries, formerly Penobscot East, which is probably how most of you all know it. Last fall, Representative Bloom had contacted us and asked if we'd be willing to provide some input on a owner-operator bill, and so that's why I'm here before you this afternoon. I just thought, I know there's been a lot of discussion about the two bills already, but I thought it'd be helpful just to quickly outline what is in LD 68. It has four objectives. The first, of course, is to create an owner-operator requirement. I think that's been very thoroughly discussed already, so I don't see any need to repeat any of that to the committee. The second aspect of LD 68 is to allow license holders who do not own a boat but have an existing business relationship with somebody under certain criteria to continue to fish. So when the idea of putting out a owner-operator requirement was discussed over the last several years, there were some issues and concerns raised, especially at Scallop Advisory Committee meetings, or Advisory Committee meetings. And that concern was, you know, what about those of us who've had these long-term business relationships, you know, are we just out? And so addressing that concern, what this bill does is it sets out three criteria that someone has to meet, a license holder has to meet, in order to use a non-owner-operator, a non-owned vessel. And first, they had to have that boat on their license for the last 3 years, so 2015, 16, and 17. Second, they had to have landings each of those years, because if they didn't have landings, there really wasn't much of a business relationship because they obviously weren't doing anything with it. And third, that same vessel has to be on the next year's license and all subsequent. So when that changes, that relationship is no longer extant, and therefore they would have to then meet the vessel ownership requirement of the law. The third thing is it provides a mechanism in code that allows the current license holder to renew their license even though they do not meet the vessel ownership requirement, but only to maintain eligibility to continue getting another license each year. Because right now, if you don't own a license, if you don't possess a license, you can't renew a license. So if you lose your license, you're out of the game. So this just is very explicit and puts it into statute that if you have a license, you can register for a license for the next year. If you don't list a boat that you are the owner of or you don't have that business relationship, you can't fish. But you keep the license so that you can just continue renewing it year to year. So essentially it doesn't kick you out of the game entirely. And the third major component of the bill is simply dealing with when the entry system would be in place, and that assumes that the law continues under its current status and the rulemaking authority remains as it is. Obviously, if that changes, then this portion of the bill would no longer be relevant. So with that, I'll be happy to answer any questions to the extent that I can.
Any questions for Mr. Thomas? Senator Picasso.
Thank you, Senator. So I'm wondering if you can give us an idea of what the scope of this fishery is in terms of who would be affected by these various provisions for both license holders who don't own boats, vessel owners who don't have licenses, and just sort of the total size.
Sure. The data are hard to get with a lot of certainty. The department was very gracious and allowed me to access the vessel ownership database as well as the licensing database. And based on going through that and looking at license holders and is their name listed as the owner of their boat, and there are a lot of variations on those themes, as you might imagine, but Based on that, about 80% of license holders are probably owner-operators, and so about 20% probably are not. And some of those, of course, may be latent licenses, and they, you know, haven't even considered actually going out and dragging. But that's for the scallop industry.
So, just so it's hard to gauge how many people would fall into those criteria that you listed of having a license for the same connected to the same boat for 3 years, had active landings, and have it be registered with the same boat. Just hard to tell.
Well, that wasn't something I was trying to access through looking at the data. I mean, every license holder has to list a boat on their license, so that information is available. I believe the department tracks landings by license holder, but that's a question that they're in a better place to answer. Whether that's all very easily accessible data is a whole different question, but I suspect the information is available, but that's the extent of my knowledge on it.
Any other questions? Representative Devin.
Madam Chair. Thank you, Mr. Thomas, for coming down from Penobscot East. Will you be able to be here for the work session?
Yes, sir.
Would you be able to – you've heard questions that I've had about owner-operator and families. You've heard what Representative Hawk has said. You know what Representative Bloom presented. You know what Representative Kamega presented and what the commissioner stated. Could you see if you could knock around some ideas of how we might get to a way that we can keep these communities fishing as much as possible, but address the commissioner's concern on business relationships, whether they're familiar or not?
Yes, sir. And, you know, the family part of this, that's somewhat separate from grandfathering. The family relationship, that would be in code with the owner-operator portion. So the way the language reads for the lobster statute is you have to own the vessel and be the license holder. Or you have a license and you're fishing from the boat that is owned by a family member who also has a license. So as long as your family member is a license holder, then you can also fish on their boat and not own your own boat.
But, Mr. Thomas, aren't we talking a little bit different here with scallops? And in lobster, you have a parent who's got a boat and a lobster license, mm-hmm. and then they have a child that's fishing with them on their license. What we're talking about here is a family member who has a boat and doesn't have a scallop license, and then the other family member has a scallop license but doesn't have the boat. So it's a little bit different. Would you agree?
I agree. That's different, and that is not currently covered in the current statute.
So hopefully we can get through that and have some ideas at work session. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Representative Battle.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Again, I'm going back to my earlier question. Maybe you might know that. Is there a specific reason why if they had the license for scallop and they had the license for urchining and they had the gear for both, why they couldn't go out, make one trip of it, go out, scallop for a while, urchin for a while, and bring them both in?
No, sir, if the commissioner can't answer that question, I certainly can't. I'm sorry.
Any further questions? Thank you very much for coming. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Are there any co-sponsors here who wish to testify? Evidently not. Is there anyone who wishes to speak in favor of the bill? Come right up, sir. Can you tell us who you are?
Oh, I'm sorry. Glenn Libby from Port Clyde. And a little bit of history. I spent about 4 decades in the scallop fishery. I don't have a license anymore, but I still own boats. I'm in favor of the bill because it opens the door to future entrants, meaning someone like my son who's never had a license. He does fish now, and he's currently down off of New Jersey on a boat out of New Bedford. And we still own 2 boats. At one point in time, we owned 3 in Port Clyde, basically ground fishing and shrimping. And I'm the kind of guy that if there was 2 numbers on the lottery, I'd pick the wrong one every time. So that's kind of what happened to us. But another alternative would be great. It's frustrating to go to the meetings. I've been to a few SCALP Advisory Council meetings, and the commissioner touched on it. Latent effort gets talked about. I was on the New England Fisheries Management Council for 3 years. That was always a concern, latent effort. Everybody's always concerned about what could happen if everybody went fishing. They rarely do, but I suppose you have to consider it. I think by making people who actually invest in the fishery allow them to fish and not just buy a bunch of licenses that keep other people out is a good idea, because that was really frustrating. That was the number one thing that would come up. Well, we can't open it up because, you know, we might have 800 boats go, even though you probably won't. We've got, I don't think there was one boat landing scallops in Port Clyde last year. There used to be quite a few of us going. There's a lot of scallop grounds around there that aren't even getting fished anymore. I know now because,
huh? Now they will.
Well, not necessarily, but not if it's better somewhere else. But, I mean, it's just, and you know, there's been no shrimping. Who knows what that's going to be. I don't see a really bright future in that. Maybe we'll get to go again a little bit, but, and ground fish as an example, to rent small dabs to go fishing, right? You have to lease quota. It's like a buck and a half a pound. Small dabs yesterday on the auction were 90 cents. So, you know, it's not too hard to do the math on that. So another alternative would be good, and I support the bill. I don't want to really go into what they might do about allowing people back in, because that does sound like it's for rulemaking. I do support the simple rulemaking, just to, I think the Scallop Advisory Council does a good job, and they should be able to come up with something. Thank you.
Mr. Libby. Any questions for Mr. Libby? Representative Toole.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I guess this is for everyone who comes up. When you say you support the bill, would you please specify which or both? That would make things a little clearer, because there are two.
Yeah, I'll just say there's things in both of them that I support. I think I'd lean more heavily towards the department bill.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Other questions? No. Anyone else who wishes to speak in favor of the bill, come right up.
Hello, Senator Maker, Representative Kumega, and members of the committee. My name is Togue Braun. I own Down East Day Boat, and I work in various capacities with Maine's scallop fishery. I'm here to support 1380, and the main reason that I support that bill in particular is the lack of a grandfather clause. You've heard some good reasons why owner-operator makes sense in the lobster fishery as well as the scallop fishery and the urchin fishery. I'm not going to reiterate those, so I will just give an example of why I think it's important to be firm and rigid and not have a grandfather clause. I started working at the Department of Marine Resources in 2007, and I got sort of energized right off the bat to try to do something with scallops. So the department and the Scallop Advisory Council knew at the time that if we were going to bring the fishery back, we were going to have to make a lot of sacrifices. And those sacrifices would be borne by the guys that were most dependent on the resource. We knew there were going to be a lot of effort reductions, and those would be hard. And we wanted those effort reductions to be temporary. So in order for that to happen, we knew we had to limit entry. Because if we didn't limit entry, what was going to happen was we would initiate cutbacks, the fishery would start to come back, all of a sudden guys would realize, hey, there's money to be made, they'd rush into the fishery, and then we'd have to have even more cutbacks, and it would be a never-ending series of cutbacks. So we came up with what we thought was the fairest way to allow people to keep their license, which was if you held a license in any of the past 3 years, you'd be able to purchase it in the following year. And we came before the legislature, and we introduced that, and a lot of people showed up and said, no, that's not fair, I was planning on getting into this fishery next year. Gave lots of reasons of why they wanted to be able to maintain the right to fish even though they hadn't in the past 3 years. And as a result, the bill was changed and the legislature changed it so that anyone who had held a license in the past 3 years or purchased it in the next month was able to get licenses in the future. And unfortunately, not everyone knew about that, but a bunch did, and 100 new licenses, or a little bit more over 100, came into the fishery. And we are dealing with the consequences of that right now. As you know, we've had some good cutbacks. I shouldn't say good. We've had some effort reductions in the fishery. The fishery has come back, and now we have more than triple the number of participants that we did before. Latent effort is a problem in the fishery right now. And I totally understand why the legislature did what they did. It is very hard to look at someone and say, no, I'm sorry, you can't do that. But you don't restore fisheries by being nice and inclusive. You restore fisheries by making a firm, fair decision and sticking with it. And I would just urge you to do that when it comes to this bill. The department has done a good job. Obviously, I'm not unbiased since I used to work there, but I think they've done a pretty good job, and the results of that speak for themselves. They're doing a good job with scallops. I would trust them to implement this and to also come up with an entry program. I think it is really important for the reasons that Glenn and I'm sure others will have described and will describe. We need to let people into this fishery. But we really can't afford to do that right now because there's so much latent effort. And I personally would like to see some of the things that we took back, I'd like to see them given back. When we cut the fishery from 132 to 70 days, we said that was going to be temporary. When we went from no limit to 200, we said this is the lowest it's going to go. And now we've gone down to 135 and then Cobscook 90. A lot of fishermen in here would like to see some of that given back. And that's not going to happen until we get a handle on effort. And the owner-operator bill without a grandfather clause is critical to that happening. And in Representative Devin, you mentioned, you know, the health of communities. I think it would be a lot better to have a firm, non-grandfather owner-operator bill and then allow new entrants into the fishery as opposed to trying to restore or preserve these existing relationships. I know it's hard, but you got to do it. And I just one little story. The hardest thing that happened to me when I was at DMR was some guy coming and saying, Togue, if you do this, I can't pay my heating bill this winter. And I said, I'm sorry, but we still need to do it. And sometimes you need to make those decisions. Lastly, I would end by saying anything that you can have routine technical as opposed to major substantive means that things are going to change more quickly. And as long as you have the ability to review it the next year, I think that's good. I personally am in favor of decoupling the drag and dive season. I think it would be good for everybody. I think that marketing-wise, I sell scallops. I would like to be able to sell it other times of the year, but I know you're going to hear a lot of people that have arguments against that. And although I think it's a good idea, if that's going to threaten the viability of 1380, I would say toss that out because we have bigger fish to fry at this point. So that's all. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Any questions from the committee?
Togue? Yes.
Yeah. Representative Dunn?
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Ms. Bronze, good to see you. Those fishermen that have been fishing in relationships have actually worked hard to help bring that fishery back.
Mm-hmm.
And so through these times when there had to be cuts, those guys survived it, those people survived it. And now what you're going to tell these people is that they have a very short window on which to change their business model. And you don't see where there's a value in allowing these people time to adapt to the new rules. People that have been fishing through these lean times, supporting the markets that you and others take advantage of, you don't see where there's value of ensuring that that expertise remains in the fishery?
I have actually a question for that. It is my understanding that the department's bill would allow for them to get a vessel, or is this, am I incorrect in this? They can keep the license.
They can keep the license, but they won't be able to use it.
They can if they get a vessel, and there are a lot of guys here that have a vessel. My question is, why do you have a license if you don't have a vessel? I mean, there is a lot more invested. The whole purpose of this is to make sure you're invested in this fishery. And there are some people, I'm sure, who are in that circumstance that for some reason didn't have it. But if you have to open the door a crack to let him in, you're going to have to end up opening it up wide for people that just got it for no real reason.
But if I could just follow that on, I believe it's LD 68 that actually you have to demonstrate that you've had landings in this relationship for the last 3 years.
We're not
opening a crack in the door. That door is always already open for those folks.
Well, my personal opinion is it's a slippery slope, and it's better with no grandfather clause at all and allow for a much better, more viable entry program down the line.
Thank you.
Representative Toole.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
the department bill has a 2-year, you basically have 2 years to quote unquote get your act together, for lack of a better term. And how would you feel about going three years to give people extra time to quote unquote get their act together? I don't know if that is the best term, but that's the best thing that's coming through my head right now.
My answer would be, if you can't get your act together in 2 years, why would you be able to in three?
Yeah, just that, to clarify, that's not in, there's no time limit in either bill.
Okay.
Representative Bloom's bill has no limit, and the department bill has no grandfathering at all, so that's something we're going to have to work out in work session.
I would also add to that also that we need to have a handle on latent effort, and you're not really going to be able to do that until you get a firm handle on how many people are actually in this fishery and participating.
Okay. Any other questions, or do you want to save that for work session, Representative Toole?
I guess my point was that you have 2 years to get a boat. If I'm understanding it right, if I'm not, please correct me.
Well, we can work that out and work, figure that out in work session. But yeah, it's not in either bill right now. Okay. Thank you very
Thank
much.
You.
More testimony in favor. You're next.
Good afternoon, Representative Kamiga and members of the committee. I'm Bill Anderson, and I'm from Trescott, Maine. And I'm an owner-operator, and I believe in owner-operator in all fisheries. And I support the thought of owner-operator as far as which bill and exact language. I think you and the commissioner know more about that. Latent effort, I view as a problem. One of the problems I see in all fisheries is when you get more investment in the fishery than the fishery can support, then your fishery becomes more at risk. And currently we have more investment in this fishery than we really need. Investment has been increasing as we've been rebuilding. In some areas, your rebuilding has been very successful. In other areas, it's been kind of disappointing. Your inshore areas, like up, well, I'll use Somes Sound for an example, and maybe inside of Roke Island, some of those inshore areas have done really well. But there's a lot of vacant, kind of what I call vacant bottom, where you can tow forever and pick up a few scallops that used to be viable scallop bottom that really hasn't come back. I think that bottom will come back if we give it a chance, but currently the way we're going at this, as hard as we go at it, I think you're going to delay rebuilding, and so I'd be really cautious about allowing more investment at this point. We've already got more than we need. And as far as allowing more time, what the department is doing is, you know, is very good. In fact, like the area in front of my house, or the area closest to home where I fished, came back very well this year. And I fished there until about the 15th of January. And by then, I considered it pretty well fished. But there was still a fair amount of product there. One of the things I saw is there was a lot of stuff around 4 inches. And it would have been nice to give that another year to grow. But at the end of the season, I could go to Cobscook, and I can still get 90 pounds. If I could go to Cobscook tomorrow, I could get 90 pounds. Now, I'm not saying we should open Cobscook, because if you sent 50 boats to Cobscook for 90, you know, that's not what. But I'm just saying there's something left. On the other hand, in the Bold Coast, the last day I went there, I use a 5.5-foot dredge either place. Last day I went to the Bold Coast, I only got 50 pounds, and part of the reason I got 50 pounds is I knew some spots that others couldn't get to. But when you generally tow out where everybody else did, it was a lot of empty shells, a few small scallops, and a few legal ones. And it's my impression that when you drag a fishery down that low, hopefully it's going to come back, but it's more difficult for it to come back. And I'd just like to see us get to the point where we can open more of the coast more often than, you know, having these three and having such a short window. But anyway, this is the owner-operator part. And the other thing I was going to comment, at the federal level, they don't have owner-operator. And what you're seeing is vessel consolidation. As people go out of business, a business will buy another vessel and the permit, and then he'll hire someone to run that. And it seems to me that NIMS is encouraging that. And you're seeing a consolidation. And, you know, you could see the day where five people could own all the permits in certain fisheries. And the other thing they do is when you see this consolidation, like I hold a groundfish permits, and I also hold a Northern Gulf of Maine scallop permit. At one time, I held a scallop permit that allowed me to go to Georges. I could go down to the Nantucket lightship. I could go anywhere I want. But what happened? Because I was holding the license for an option for something else to do, I own boats, and I lobster fish. You know, that used to be my number one fishery. Today, my number one fishery is scallops, and lobster is second to that, if you can believe that, with your landings where they are. And I'm standing here saying that lobster is second to my scallops now. So anyway, on the federal level, you got this consolidation, and when they consolidate, they just take away any opportunity I was trying to hang on to over here, and they're handing it to certain individuals. So you could see a situation like groundfish could wind up in the hands of five people in 20 years, unless they change something there. And scallops, you've got some people that own 20% of the landing capacity in scallops. So I favor owner-operator. It's better for the fishery. And I could also leave you, there's a person they picked up. They called him the Godfather. You know about that. I don't know whether everyone does, but there's articles in the National Fisherman about him and what he's done. He owns scallop permits and groundfish permits. He was catching species that he wasn't supposed to keep and naming it all haddock. So anyway, I support owner-operator.
Thank you, Mr. Anderson. Any questions from the committee? Seeing none. Mr. Libby, you've been waiting patiently.
All right. Thank you for letting me speak to all the members of the committee. And my name's Gary Libby. And I've been a fisherman for close to 40 years. And I've always been an owner-operator. And I'm in favor of the department's bill. Reason being that I used to go in state waters scallop fishing. That was the first fishery I ever fished in. And when we had to buy the license, we were in financial hardship, and we didn't renew our license. So we ended up being set aside as from the industry, and we participated in it from a lot of years before that. And now we've been waiting to try to get into the reentry, which when we didn't renew, they said we would be able to renew by 2012. And we're still waiting, and it's 17. And I think the reason why we're having trouble reentering this fishery is the latent effort and something that needs to be addressed in this scallop fishery. There's other fisheries that we have it needs to be addressed in, too. But I'm in favor of this because it gives me an opportunity to maybe reenter the fishery and my family to reenter the fishery because we are a family fishing business. We have two boats left. My brother spoke earlier. And just an opportunity to work in the winter. This winter I've been spending my savings. I go lobstering now still. But when you have to spend your savings all winter, it makes it kind of tough. If I could just go out a little bit, make a little money, That would be nice. But I just address this latent effort. I think you're going to solve a lot of problems with that. I don't want you to start handing out licenses willy-nilly and put the scallop fishery in jeopardy again. I'd like to see an opportunity for myself and others. I'm not sure about the lottery, not the lottery, the grandfather in the other bill. That's why I support the department's bill, because even though the guys have worked in the fishery for those years, I also worked in the fisheries prior to those years, and my opportunity's gone now, unless you guys can work something out where I can re-enter. Until that happens, I'll be waiting. I've been waiting, as you said, Walter, I've been waiting patiently today, but I've been waiting patiently for a long time. I guess that's about my testimony, and thank you for letting me testify. And if anyone's got any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Thank you, Mr. Libby. Anyone have any questions? Never feel bad about coming here. This is your house. You have every right to speak to us. So thank you very much.
I'll try to be up a little more often.
Happy to have you. Thank you very much. Yes? You in support?
Yes.
My name is Pete Gasparini. I'm from Vinyl Haven. I've been in the scallop fishery for 34 years, a lot longer than a whole bunch of these young guys who just got into it recently. There is too much effort right now. What has happened in the past two seasons is the area in Penobscot Bay, which is what I'm most familiar with, has been shut down due to overfishing by the mid-January or 1st of February. This is crazy. When you live in an area and you know the bottom and you take care of the bottom and you know that there's product out there and you can't go out to it, this winter I had to travel more than 10 miles to get to open bottom. It was crazy. Where we're so exposed, southwest winds, if you got to 11 o'clock before you were driven out, you were lucky. And, I'm all in favor of the wording that says, if there's a disability, maybe the second in command, the son or whatever. There's a lot of these fisheries have had a lot of father son operations. I was that way for years and years. I'm all in favor of you allowing the next in line to fish under the owner's license to help him out. But where you still have, according to the commissioner, a lot of people who have the potential to get back into this, it's not a good thing. If you're on the water, if you're an active fisherman, if you're here in Augusta, you're not going to see it. 2 years ago, we had 38 boats opening in December. But there's only like 5 boats between Vinyl Haven and North Haven that drag. And to have people from anywhere come and fish it so hard that the state has to close it, 6 weeks into the season, that's not good practice. And it happened again this winter on north of North Haven. And, they came in and said, overfished. Too much product gone. So please don't allow more boats. I know this is, I'm going to get booed, but you have the most perfect setup with lobster fishing. You fish where you live. You pick your zone, and you fish where you live. You don't go to where the hot spot is and take and take and take. Okay, it's done. Go to the next hot spot. Take and take and take. It's done. You know, I hate to see that happen to a stock that's just starting to come back. Thank you.
Thank you very
much.
Questions? Any questions? Representative Simmons.
How would you stop participation if you decide to do owner-operator and all those people that have latent licenses decide to go buy boats? They're going to have to pay for those boats, so that's going to increase participation, I would think. How would you stop that? Because the licenses are there. You can't take them away now.
Reimburse them for the last few years that they paid for that license. When I started, it was $33 for my license. Now it's over $200. And, you know, and they're just, you know, they're just, they're doing something else. If they're not using their scallop license, they're making money somewhere else. It's not a need right now for them. Otherwise, they'd be in it.
Representative Simmons.
But if they have to go buy a boat, they're gonna have a need. So you're forcing them to buy a boat, and then they're gonna have to pay for that boat. So they're gonna have to go to work in the scallop industry. And they're not right now, so it's part of a conservation measure in reality.
If they don't have a boat, they're not fishermen.
Thank you, sir. Any other questions? Nope. Okay. Anyone in support?
Alex Todd, Casco Bay, and Scallop, and
Alex,
the...
Alex Todd?
Yeah, and the Scallop Advisory Chair. In response... to what you said, I think that the majority of people that have the license have boats, at least in my area, and I'm for parts of the bills and against them. I wasn't actually even getting off. I'm just scratching the dome. But they have boats. They just want to continue to go lobstering and not start over scalloping. You know, there's a handful of us that make the switch too early and some that stay later. But generally, the first part of the season in western Maine, you can make more money still lobstering than you can scalloping. So since 2000, since it opened, when did the closed areas open? 12? Yeah. Since 2012, the half or more of the reactivation of people that have boats, have licenses, but just don't particularly want to beat the crap out of their boat scalloping and stuff, so they put it on somebody's boat that's done lobstering. I don't think it'll cause people to buy boats.
So are you speaking in favor of this bill, or?
I'm speaking, well, I was just answering his question. The limited entry, I think before we can go forward in devising some sort of a plan for people to get in, we do have to address that. I don't necessarily like the season change tied to it, but I'm for some sort of limited entry. Thanks.
Thank you. Do you want to ask them a question?
I was just going to make a comment, if I may.
Oh. Sure.
So I was going to recommend it, just stay away from auctions.
Objects. Anyone in favor of it? Come on right up, sir.
I'm Brian Soper, scallop diver 40 years, urchin diver 30 years, been involved up here quite a bit. Let's put a twist on this. I pay as much for my license, maybe even in cases because I have a diver tender license, more than anybody pays, draggers or anybody, and I can't give my license to anybody. I'm 59. I'm getting done. As a diver, I'm done. I would love to be able to give my daughter my license and take her out on my boat and take my place, but I can't do that. I'd say all these years, divers beyond this have been discriminated against, meaning I'm going to say you're almost breaking the law letting draggers do it and not letting the divers do it. So what I'm saying to you is if you're going to continue on with the way it is and not go owner-operator, then create a new law for the divers. Okay.
So explain to me here, back here.
Okay.
The diver has a special license.
Yeah.
And you're not addressed in any bill. I'm
a diver that I can't sell my license to. I can't give it to. No one can go on my boat. I can't say if I have a friend, which I have many of them that are divers, I can't take, because I have a license, I can't take him out on my boat and let him dive. It's specific to me.
Correct. And I understand that part.
Okay.
How does that work? I mean, I'm trying to get knowledge.
Okay.
So you own a boat.
Yep.
And
I can work on somebody else's boat, though.
Yeah, but you own a boat. So
yep.
You get your scallops by diving
yep.
them and not by using
drags.
So I'm
3% they were talking about. Remember that?
Yeah.
I'm one of those 3%. Probably 1% is standing in this room of the scallops taken by dive.
Okay.
Okay, one of the 30 divers.
I didn't know that. So, and then the second question is, so this bill, these two bills...
Right.
Are you in favor of
one? I'm in favor of the commissioner's bill because back, and I can't tell you when, I used to dive scallops because I started when I was 19 years old. I believe, and I could be wrong, I was able to go on. And let's go November 1st. I believe at one time I was able to dive at October 15th, but that I could be wrong about that. But I know I could dive at November 1st, and I wasn't paying attention, and nobody asked the divers that it was a gear conflict, that they moved our season from November 1st to November 15th to December 1st, and they shortened us, and nobody looked at the divers. Nobody said, oh, geez, we don't have a gear conflict. I can dive any time of the year. And I believe the commissioner, see, we've just jumped from one to another. You've asked me another question. But I'm in for opening up our dive season to allow the commissioner to decide when we can and cannot dive. Right now, we're on a 60-day season. We'll call me a Zone 1 diver. I mean, I can dive anywhere in the state, but I follow the rules of those dives. I've gone from, at one time, I could dive 150 days out of a year. I used to dive 135 plus urchins. I used to dive 200 days a year. Now I'm down to a 15-day urchin season and a 60-day scallop season. And I really don't have a problem with all that. I'm almost 60. But I would love to pass my license on to either one of my children that are both divers, but I can't do that. Okay? They can't even dive on my boat. In fact is, I can't even have them out with a recreational license on my boat. It's that stringent.
So
you understand what I'm saying?
I understand.
Can't dive with my children. Go ahead.
There is no more licenses for divers?
No, we haven't had licenses for years. We're exactly the same as a dragger. The rules for a dragger is the rules for a diver.
Okay.
I dive with draggers every single day of my life. And the commissioner in his regime, and I'm part of the 4 years ago that he talked to us, has changed. And I'll tell you this in front of this whole committee, how unbelievable this commission has been for at least the divers and what we've done, that I actually wrote personally the schedule for the divers this year in the Zone 1 area. We had 60 days, and they made a schedule, and I called up Trish, and I said, that's not quite right. And I rewrote the schedule, and they took my schedule day for day, and so far I don't have any divers complaining with it. And what it did was it got us out of as best we could when draggers are there. Because a pair of flippers in a tank lose every day to a 500 horsepower engine in a 10-foot drag. Okay, you have to understand, and I'll work within, if I know the tides and what I'm doing, I'll work within 300 feet of a drag towing right next to me, and I'm towing right here, and I'll tell you what, it's not much fun. But we, as divers, and Alex Todd works with me, right around me, he sees me every day, we watch out for ourselves. We have no choice. When a dragger moves in, we pick up and move. I could steam, he's talking about steaming 10 miles, it's nothing for me to steam 15 to 20 miles a day to get over to a spot, to get in a lee, to dive, and all of a sudden there's a dragger there. A dragger anywhere, once he riles up the water, we're done. That's why I'm speaking for the opening up of scallops, not even to talk about the marketing ability of it when we have dive scallops. Not only that, dive scallops are branded on the coast of Maine. We are one of the famous, most famous products there is, dive scallop. And if you don't believe me, go to the fanciest restaurants anywhere in the world. And don't, I shouldn't say anywhere, but in New England, and they're going to say dive scallop. Well, how many of those you think are really dive scallops? Okay, with 3% of the total catch dive scallops, that's why I have to laugh. Because I have a retail store, and 100% of mine move through my dive sketch when I'm probably at least a quarter of that 3%. So I'm in favor of lengthening the season. Also, either change it, the owner-operator thing, or let me into it. Because at the age of 59, I could easily take my boat and let somebody else use my license. And the biggest thing about scalloping is knowing where to go. And I have a plotter on my boat with over 300 beds on it, and it's worth a fortune. Because diving is knowing exactly where to go and exactly when to be there. And I would love to share that with another diver, a 22-year-old diver.
Thank you.
Okay.
Did you have your hand up, some Devin?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Soper, I haven't seen you in a while.
Yeah. I've been away from the Urchin Council.
Yeah. You haven't changed a bit,
though. No, I haven't.
So, first of all, there's no one that can transfer a license to anyone.
No.
And we're not going to – that's not going to be a discussion that's going to be held here. So –
Well, you're allowing it – well, you're allowing somebody else to use your license. Right now, a scallop dragger – can let another person use his license. Another boat use his license.
That license, true. He has to be on the boat.
Yeah. So, I would love to be on my boat and have a 20-year-old diver use my license. What's the difference? Well, why am I being discriminated against?
I don't see where you're being discriminated against. Also, you're...
No, back up. Explain to me why.
Okay, we're not going to play...
Okay, does everybody understand the statement?
So you've stated that you're happy with the extension of the season for divers so that you will not be in competition with draggers.
Right.
My question is, and you feel that wouldn't affect your market, that you could market your scallops outside of the...
I make far more money.
That's all I need. Okay. You don't see a market problem.
If I could produce a dive
scallop...
Mr. Soper,
you don't see a market problem.
No.
Thank you.
No. Representative
Valley. Easy as that.
I'm just wondering, you say that divers get within 300 feet of you. Did they get any closer than that? Because you're supposed to have a dive flag up.
Do.
And I just wondered if they actually acknowledged it.
Actually, there's no real... I already called the Marine Patrol about this because I was oyster diving and the oyster drag boat came. And there's no real law. It's like a courtesy thing. Dragger can tow right over the top of me if he wants to. I mean, it's a courtesy thing, and it doesn't happen, and I do not have a problem working with the draggers that I do. We work very well together.
Any other questions?
Then tell your Marine Patrol people that.
Any other questions from the committee? Thank you very much.
Okay.
You taught me something today.
Thank you. Oh, harps well.
Anyone else in support of the bill?
Good afternoon. I'm Andrew House from South Bristol. I scallop fish with my father. I have the license and we use his boat. And I'm in favor of Mrs. Bloom's proposal because it will still allow me and my father to fish together. And I feel that is an important thing for our coastal communities.
So, anyone have any questions for Mr. House? Hearing none, thank you very much for coming up.
My name's Reggie House, South Bristol, Maine. I've been a commercial fisherman all my life. That was my son, Andrew. I'm in favor of the first owner-operator bill with the family. I know of two other different boats that are in not the same situation, but similar situation that their sons and sons-in-laws go with them. And I think it's a good thing for these small communities down where we come from. There's only a handful of licenses left down home. There's only like, where we are, there's like 7 licenses. So I think it's a good thing to keep that thing going. And I think it's going to take care of itself over time, because us guys are getting older all the time, and we're going to die, and they're going to get bigger boats, and they're just going to keep going anyway. So I think it's a perfect thing for this limited owner-operator bill. I'm all for owner-operator, but I really think that should stay in there for this, for the foreseeable future.
Thank you, Mr. House. Any questions from the committee? Thank you very much.
Yep.
Anyone else in favor? Come right up, sir.
Hi, my name is Brian Preeny. I'm a 30-year urchin diver, 35-year scallop diver. I currently am the interim chairman of the Sea Urchin Zone Council. I'm a previous chairman of the Zone Council. I've seen a lot of the issues come through and throughout the years, and I believe the biggest one that we're going to face, and the most important one as far as I'm concerned, is limited entry and, you know, finding out who's going to take this industry over after we, well, as we get older. I'm 57 years old now. Brian says he's 59. I see a lot of older men in the room. We're not going to do this forever. We're all going to get our turn to get out. Simple as that. I believe that the Department of Marine Resources, especially in the scallop industry, has done a great job managing the scallop fishery to this point. This commissioner and his staff, Trish, they know the scallop industry inside and out, and they would not have put the bill through, and I'm for the department's bill, by the way. They would not have put this bill forward if it was not in the best interests of fisheries management and the future of the industry. I believe that the hardest part of deciding how we're going to do a limited entry is to get a baseline on what the industry really is. And there's no way we're going to do it until we, like Tog said, and by the way, don't put that in the notes that I agreed with Tog. we got to make some tough choices. It's not going to be easy, and some people will lose for sure. But we need to have the baseline. In response to Representative Simmons' comment, well, what if every latent licenses goes by a boat? Well, let's see it. Go get it. Go get your boat. Let's find out. Let's find out where we're starting this industry, and we'll go from there. Limited entry might be 25 years from now. If the latent effort all goes by his boat and gets in, we're here. I mean, this is where we are for a long time. And I'll be dead and gone, and a lot of people in this room will be dead and gone before anybody else can get back in this industry. So I do believe that the department is on the right track here, and fully support that bill.
Thank you very much. Any questions from the committee? Hearing none, thank you very much for coming. Anyone else in support? I want to make sure I get it. Come right up, sir.
I'm Jimmy Ackley from Machias, dragger, sea urchins and scallops. I'm in favor of the commissioner's bill, and I'm one of those that has somebody else's license on my boat, and if it comes to me losing that license, then it's for the industry, and I'll just have to pick which one I want to do.
Thank you, Mr. Ackley, for coming from Claremont from Machias. That's great. Anyone have any questions? Thank you very much. Anyone else in support? Last call. Anyone who wishes to speak in opposition?
I'm George Harris, but most people in the room know me as Butch Harris. I'll start at the beginning. I started urchin and scalloping in 1980. 4 years I was in high school as urchin and scalloping with a 50-foot boat. My parents owned on the weekends. 1984, I built a boat. And I bought two licenses, urchin license and scallop. I actually didn't even have urchin license back then. I bought a commercial fishery license that covered urchin license. So I've been fishing on my own boat, owner-operator, since 1984. And then probably 1995, I bought a brand new H&H, or been a mainway back then. I bought two more licenses, a scallop license and an urchin license. And then along came a few years later, they put a moratorium on. And just a few years after I bought this brand new boat, had $2,500 a month payment, insurance, dockage, all that. And they put 135-pound limit on. And then they decided to put a moratorium on. When they put the moratorium on, they called the state to renew both licenses. They said you're only allowed one license per owner. So I renewed just one license, had to sell my brand new boat. And then when I sold my new boat, a year later, I've realized there's a lot of guys that was fishing, still fishing two licenses. And the state told me I couldn't renew mine, so I called the state and said, I want my other two licenses back. I had to sell my boat because I didn't have no licenses for it. And the girl said in the office, she said, well, you should have renewed them last year if you wanted to license this. I said, I tried to renew them last year. You guys refused me. So I'm down to two licenses, had to sell my new boat because you got 135-pound limit on. And a few years later, they went down to 7 total limit. So as it went on, I got another older boat. So I got two boats, both about 80s, early 1980 boats. I leased two licenses on one boat, and then I leased one license on the other boat. So I got five families full-time under me, five different guys, five families. So if you push this through, not only did I lose my licenses, but these five guys are not going to fish. They've been fishing with me for years. But two of the guys are already talking about buying their own boats now, two guys on my boat. So I'm going to be out of the fishery. I've been doing it since 1984. So I'm opposed to the bill.
Thank you very much. Any questions for Mr. Harris?
And I think he's right. There's four or five guys in our area that can swing the boat. They're going to get into the fishery. It's just going to force some guys back in. Maybe not enough, but it is going to force some guys back into the fishery.
Thank you very much for coming.
Yep. I have a question.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't see your hand up. Representative Devin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So thank you very much, Mr. Harris, for coming. So would you support a bill that would include some sort of grandfathering so you could continue to work with
If I get my licenses back, yeah, at least one. If I get one of my scallop licenses back or nursing license.
Okay, thank you.
I have a scallop license. I have to lease two urchin licenses for my two boats, and I have to lease one scallop license so I can see with the quotas, 90-pound limit, it's going to be hard for people to get in the fishery because there's not enough money there to buy a boat.
Yep.
You're only talking $50,000 for this season for scalloping. So $50,000 is pretty hard to buy a boat, pay crew, fuel, dockage, and make a living.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Harris. Anyone else in opposition? Come right up, sir.
I have one quick question. My boy is at UMO and couldn't be here, but he wrote in his comments. I didn't know if I could hand those out, too.
Yep, just pass them to her, and she'll pan them out for you.
My name is James West. I'm a fisherman from Sereno, Maine. I've been scalloping, lobstering, about every fishery you could do since the early 80s. I oppose part of LD-1380, and the part that I oppose, it says here, specifies that the prohibition against fishing for or taking scallops from April 16th to November 30th applies only to scallop dragging. And the reason I oppose it is a bunch of reasons. They say that they only take 3% of the fishery, I guess, or a smaller percentage, but in my bay, in Frenchman's Bay, there's quite a few divers that dive out of there. And most of that whole bay is 60 feet or less where there are scallops. So the commissioner sets their season at September 1st, that means September, October, and November, the divers get to get that area before me and my son and anybody else that has a drag license can start there. That gives them a big advantage on picking away at the biomass that's there. And the way the state runs our fishery now is if they come in and survey Frenchman's Bay this year, and they say that there's 10,000 pounds that can be taken out of there. They're only going to let us take out roughly 3,000 pounds. So if the divers go in and they get 3 months worth of fishing out of there, then it opens up December 1st for me and my son. How many days are we going to get before that closes down? You know, so, and I've steamed up and down. I probably steamed more scalloping this year than anybody has in the state of Maine. I started out from my home port in Sereno, had to steam to Bass Harbor to fish out of there for a few months, and then they closed that area down. They closed us down. I don't remember what the date was, but when they closed us down for dragging there, they left it open to diving. So the first place they did that was Somme Sound. I got to fish there, I think, 3 days. Still was quite a few scallops there. They closed that down, the DMI did for us, but it was left open to divers. Then they closed down another area around Sutton's Island, Cranberry Island. That was closed down, but it still stayed open for divers. Then they closed down the area where I was fishing mostly, which was Pond Island up in Blue Hill Bay. It got shut down there, but I'm pretty sure that was still left open for divers. So then I steamed from there to Cutler, fished out of there, and down there you got to fish outside in the deeper water because that's about the only thing that's outside Cutler. There was a lot of scallops down there. We had the rest of the season was good down there. Then I left there, steamed to Gloucester, Massachusetts, because I have a federal Northern Gulf of Maine permit. Got down there, fished 7 days before the Fed shut us down, and then steamed back to Portland and fished 4 days in Portland. But I oppose that because I just think it's giving them an unfair advantage of us over us. And a lot of guys are still lobstering up in the head of bays in 30, 40, 50, 60 feet of water. There's a lot of kids, a lot of guys still lobstering up there. And then they're going to have to compete with a diver and have to pussyfoot around them so they're not going to be, pushing the traps on top of them. You know, we can't fish in that area because there's a diver there, so you run around and haul your traps somewhere else. And then one gentleman got up here and said, in the early 80s, we had a lot more draggers than we've got now, and we had a lot more divers than we had now. We didn't have a problem back then, fishing from November 1st to April 15th, with us all working together. There's a lot less now draggers and a lot less now divers, so why can't we fish together from December 1st to April 15th?
Thank you, Mr. West. Any questions for Mr. West? No questions? Thank you very much for coming. Anyone else in opposition? Anyone neither for or against this bill? Well, we got one here. Then we'll get you.
Go ahead. I'll give this to Julia while he's doing that. Okay.
No good jokes today, Pat. All serious. Doug McLennan, Spruce Head.
You said it so fast I didn't hear what you said.
Doug McLennan, Spruce okay. Head, Maine. Trying to write multitasking here.
That's okay.
I got more of a question with the commissioner's bill about me and my son own a boat together. You can't put both of our names on the boat. When you register it, it has to be one or the other. So we bought this boat together. I got two sons. We all got boats. I got four boats in the family. We bought an extra boat to go scalloping with so we don't smash our lobster boats up. It's kind of hard on them. So I don't understand. Me and my youngest son, we go scalloping out of the same boat. With the commissioner's bill, I still be able to. We all have licenses. When none of us were without a scallop license. He could rig his other boat up, add another boat into the fleet. Same with my other son. I just want to know, can we still fish? One scalloper with three licenses on it. Because right now, all I have to do is they put their name of our boat on their license, right? So that's kind of what I need to know. Is that going to shut my kids out? So they're going to have to rig their lobster boats up? It's going to add two more boats instead of reducing any effort. You're going to add effort.
I'm sure you can ask him after.
Yeah.
He's
we'll
saying.
I guess that, I mean, I could speak along about all day, but
oh, that's well, you kind of, don't go away.
Yeah.
Didn't want to scare you off here. I think you have a question, Devin.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. Mr. McClendon, thank you very much for being patient and coming up and talking with us. So it sounds to me like you'd be in favor of the grandfathering of families fishing together.
I guess. I don't really want to speak against the bill. There's a lot of things with the state bill. I'm not too keen on the diver part of it. You know, we were like James this year in our inside channel, which was right out of our home where we could fish when the wind was blowing. We shut down to us. Yeah, the divers were diving in there last week, and we were shot out of there in December. So that bill, there's a lot of parts when you lump things into these bills that I might like one part of it, but there might be two parts that I don't care for, you know. I don't have anything to do with Urchinon, but I see why they have a separate drag, because we have to have 4-inch rings where an urchin drag can have a 2-inch
twine bag. I wouldn't catch any urchins with a scallop drag.
Well, the thing is, you can catch a lot of scallops with an urchin drag. So
it's true.
But you know what I mean? I don't know because I don't have an urchin license. But what I'm saying is, I see scallops come out of my drag this big, right? Urchin bag, you're going to get, you're not supposed to cut them, but. Not supposed to do a lot of things that people do, so.
Thank you very much.
But as far as grandfathering, if he says we're all right, that's all I need to know, so.
I think your situation is a little different than the
I just wanted to check. Same with, there's other people in the room here who have family members that we have a boat that we set aside and go, you know, so we don't have to use our lobster boats. It's not common, I don't think, but.
Any other questions? Hearing none? Thank you very much.
Thank you
for coming up. Anyone else, neither for nor against? You'll be next. Tell me you're not going to read all this testimony.
Oh, no. I knew you'd be horrified, but I was actually trying to curry favor with Craig by attaching some red line versions of the bills in here that to put in where the language is that we were talking about.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm Kim Irvin Tucker. I'm the legal counsel for the Maine Lobstering Union. Although we have a lot of our members who also have scallop licenses as well, so they do have interest. My primary reason for being here is I'm afraid there is a problem with the existing language that we have in the lobster owner-operator that got in there originally, sort of unintentionally, that we had been meaning to come to fix. And now if you incorporate that same language in owner-operator in these other fisheries, that problem, which is sort of a corporate loophole, infects these other fisheries. So we felt the need to say, ho, maybe we should fix it all now. So at the very back of your packet, I've taken a few pages from the 1997-98 consideration for this bill, and I think it was LD 1455, which created the owner-operator in the lobster fishery.
We can't change anything in the lobster fishery at this point. That would be a separate bill.
Okay. Well, okay. I'm raising this now because we don't want you to infect it with our problem. We can fix that one later. So, in that language in the back here, you'll see the discussion that when the original language for owner-operator in the lobster fishery that's in 6431E, was introduced, that's subsection 1B, as in boy. They used a regulation that was from Rhode Island. And the theory was that the commissioner at that time proposed was that this Rhode Island regulation had supposedly been litigated and found not to be constitutionally overbroad. And so they wanted to use that language. Unfortunately, the language that actually, over the course of time, got put in actually was not the language from Rhode Island. And the Rhode Island language, to get to Representative Sutton's point about what is the percentage, the actual Rhode Island language I've included in my 4 pages, the skinnier part at the top here, I've actually put the Rhode Island language in. And it says that no vessel may be used in the commercial taking of lobsters, insert any fishery here, unless the operator is the registered or documented owner of said vessel. If a corporation is the documented owner of a vessel, the operator shall be the majority owner of that corporation. The way it was translated in our language, in our statute, was the person who owns the highest percentage of a partnership, corporation, or other entity that is the owner of a vessel registered under blah, blah, blah. The problem is by using highest percentage, picture a corporation that had 99 people in it, and the license holder for the lobster license has 2%. He is the highest percentage owner. That is not what's envisioned in the Rhode Island regulation. I spoke at length with the lawyer for them. In fact, they actually hadn't had it ever challenged, so the original premise was flawed. But what they did have in the original concept, and still to this day, is that the person who is the license holder must have 51% of that, the majority of that corporation or partnership. So our recommendation is that if you are going to start adding owner-operator here for these other fisheries, that we actually truly use the concept that was used in Rhode Island, and we have a majority, because otherwise you create a real corporate potential loophole there. And we would like to see owner-operator for all the reasons we all support owner-operator as promoting family fisheries, that curing that defect that occurred in 1998, we would very much like to see at least in these fisheries, and then we would like to also see it in the lobster fishery rather than us infect them. The next issue was it looked like your language proposed a change from major substantive rules to routine technical. I have attached in the first, right behind the first blue sheet here, the actual language from the Maine Administrative Procedures Act. All rules, all statutes that require rulemaking have two categories of rulemaking, routine technical and major substantive. But like the discussion here that Representative Kamega and Representative Devin had about right now, we're very comfortable with the professionalism of the commissioner, so we feel comfortable saying routine technical. And before, we didn't feel that way. That's why we said major substantive. The reality is the Administrative Procedures Act doesn't contemplate that kind of personality-driven trust level. It's a very objective criteria, and we think under the objective criteria that is laid out in Title V, Chapter 375, Subchapter 2A, Section 8071-2, where it talks about what a routine technical and it talks about what major substantive is, we think that these clearly are major substantive. And so we very much press this both on our lobster bills and on this one. We want to be consistent with that, that where somebody's livelihood is being impacted, where it increases the cost of doing business, that it must be major substantive. That and where there's a significant amount of discretion in the interpretation of the language of the bill, again, it's major substantive. We think it's an objective criteria that should be uniformly applied and not driven by any other considerations. And then the final issue was you had a definition in here of family members, and it made a big point about by blood, by adoption, to make sure it was included of both by blood and adoptive. But on the when you referenced in both bills grandchildren, grandchild, or grandparent, it was silent as to by blood and adoption. So we just recommended that we there's a little, just a little dweeby thing in here, that you make it clear that it also is by blood and or adoption, because otherwise if you omitted that language, it might imply that you meant a different result for grandchildren and grandparents. And I guess my final point, since the discussion, it's not in my written notes here, but on the point of grandfathering, as a lawyer, typically when you're taking something away from somebody, it's not routine to do that. Whenever there's a law being imposed that creates a new burden, like this, a huge burden, like buying a vessel, they have grandfathering. And there's a paragraph in that very back section for the original draft of LD 1455 that had a paragraph in there that had some grandfathering language. And we also always support preserving any kind of family commingling, so we supported the language more of 68 in that regard, that it would allow any time, especially with an aging population that we have in these kinds of fisheries where they've shut down the fishery and giving new licenses out for so long and it's an aging population, we think being able to have family members fish together is really important. And for the minor amount of people who would continue to fish that didn't themselves own the boat, I think I heard the number 20%. With this kind of an aging population of license holders, attrition will take care of that over time, and we think that we shouldn't be taking people's rights away, that it preserved this fishery up to this point. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any questions? Hearing none, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Anyone else, neither for nor against this bill? Yes, come right up.
Ira Miller, Tenants Harbor.
Can you say that again, please?
Ira Miller, Tenants Harbor.